Have your Bible tonight. Let's turn, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. I want to speak to you tonight. Let's get all excited. You know, there's a song about it. Let's get all excited and go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe that Christians ought to get excited. I tell you, I'm so tired and sick of seeing long-faced Christians trying to endure to the end. And he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Looked as if they're eating oats out of the bottom of a gas pipe, you know, and boy, they'll tell you they're so dead. It's no wonder you don't attract anybody. I believe we ought to be happy about it. The Lord said, or David said there in Psalms 51, he said, Lord, return unto me the joy of my salvation, the joy of it. And a lot of folk don't look like they have much joy to me. I believe that we ought to get excited about it. Now, I believe there's limits. I believe that we can be fanatical. I believe that we can be hysterical even. I believe that we can get out of reason. But I believe a Christian ought to be happy. I believe that we ought to be happy Christians, excited Christians. I believe there ought to be some things we get excited about. I'll tell you the truth about it, honestly. I get excited about sports. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I do. Most people do. Most people, that's got, I mean, something in. There's something that excites somebody in some way. I don't believe there's anything that ought to excite you like knowing Jesus Christ and serving the Lord. I believe it ought to be the most exciting thing in your life. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'd say this tonight to you. If Christianity isn't the most exciting thing in your life, I believe that you ought to go home and sit down and ask the Lord what it is that's wrong in your life. It ought to be exciting. It ought to be thrilling. It ought to be something that just permeates your being. It ought to be something that grips your heart. It ought to be something that makes you want to live for it day by day. It ought to be exciting to your heart. Now listen to what the Lord said. Now just read one verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 11. For the Scripture saith, now remember, this is what the Bible says. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. Now, I wonder what would happen to you. I was preaching this afternoon, and somehow this illustration came to my mind, and I didn't mean to use it again tonight, but it comes to my mind, so I'm going to use it because I feel the Lord's put it there. But supposing somebody would come up to you and say something disparaging, perhaps some of you men, and they'd say, you know, I've been thinking about your wife, and I'm not real sure that she's who she says she is. I wouldn't be surprised if your wife's mother wasn't a prostitute. That is, her husband is not really your wife's father. Just about the time he got that out of his mouth, he'd have a knuckle sandwich, wouldn't he? I mean, I don't care how little you are and how big he is, he'd have a knuckle sandwich. Now, if somebody came to one of you ladies and said to you ladies, you know, I'm not sure about your husband's parentage. I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't the illegitimate son of a prostitute. I wouldn't be surprised if you wouldn't work them over in a very unladylike fashion. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Now, beloved, what I'm trying to say is, when somebody comes up and talks disparagingly about the Lord Jesus, we should not be ashamed of him. We ought to stand up for Jesus like we'd stand up for our wife, like we'd stand up for our husband, like we'd stand up for our children. We found in our school a long time, this is our 14th year, and we found out a long time ago that we don't have near the trouble with our children as we do with our parents. Now, you can do a whole lot to a man or woman. Just don't fool with their children. When you fool them, then you just got an old flogging hen after you then nearly. You've got some problems on your hands. And that's good. God gave mothers that instinct. Now, I'm trying to say to you, beloved, we ought to have the same feeling about the Lord. We ought not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. We ought not to be ashamed of the Bible. We ought not to be ashamed of His righteousness or His blood-bought religion. We oughtn't to be ashamed of any of it. In fact is, it's not just a thing of not being ashamed, not the negative side. It ought to be the other side. We ought to be so thrilled about it, we'd be willing to tell anybody about it. You take a man, got a son that, well, just say plays football, and he makes the winning touchdown. He's not ashamed to tell anybody that his son made the touchdown. You take a boy playing baseball, and his boy hits the home run that wins the game and wins the series. He's not ashamed to tell anybody that's his son. Now, you take a girl in this volleyball team, and she makes the winning point. That no mother is ashamed to say that's her daughter. You see, what I'm trying to say is, beloved, we need to get our values right. We need to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the world. We ought to get excited about it. We ought to get excited about it every day. Every day when we wake up, we ought to say in our heart and mind, I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved today. Get excited. You know, when you think about it, if everybody get excited about their salvation, I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would happen tonight when you go out maybe to get a sandwich if you got excited about your salvation. If you were excited when the waitress came up to wait on you. Instead of being grumpy and complaining, you were excited about your salvation. I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would happen tomorrow if you were excited about your salvation when you went out to make the sales or went out to make repairs or whatever your particular job may be. I'll tell you what it would do. I believe that if every born-again Christian in Northside Baptist Church got excited about salvation, I wouldn't be surprised if it wouldn't bring revival about as quick as anything I know of. You're going to have to get excited. Every revival I've ever read about, I've tried to read of every revival. I read the revival there when Christian Evans prayed and prayed and God gave revivals and people would just literally fall under the wooing of the Holy Spirit and just cities, literally cities, got saved. You know what they did? They'd start singing. They'd lock arms, four or five abreast. They'd just quit their public work. And they'd go up over the hill to the next city. And when they went in, they'd start preaching what God had done for them. And that city would fall under the convicting spell of the Holy Spirit of God. In the great Hebrides revival over in the lands over there, why, they got excited about it. I've never seen a revival about unexcited people. You can't read in the Bible about anybody ever having a revival that wasn't excited about their salvation. Brother, in the book of Acts, you read about the people when they had revival. They got excited. They went to house to house. They didn't care if there was a bad dog in the yard. They didn't care if there was a fence around it. They didn't care if the people didn't look like they was at home. They were so excited about it. It was the most exciting. It was the most important thing in all the world to them. And beloved, I say to you tonight that we need to get excited about salvation. We need to get excited when we tell somebody else. I tell you, not only would it bring revival, but I tell you something else it'll do. It'd bring assurance to your heart. I deal with many people who say, Brother Hudson, I'm just not sure that I'm saved. I just don't have that assurance. You talk to them a little bit. You find out they have asked Christ to come into their heart. They do believe the Bible to be the Word of God. They do believe that there's a heaven and a hell. But somehow they just don't have the assurance. Brother, there's only one thing that'll bring assurance. And that's the constant going out. That excitement that keeps the Word of God going. And as it goes out, it does something in your heart. It brings that assurance down in your soul. Brother, all the way by the testimonies that you give, when you begin to get excited, tell everybody about Jesus Christ, it'll do something for your heart. When you go to bed at night, you'll dream about good things of the Lord. You'll wake up in the morning with good, pleasant thoughts on your mind. I'm trying to say to you, the problem in most of us is your mind's stagnant. Your mind's like it's got moss on it or something because you're not excited down inside to tell about it. Would you hate to hear a sports announcer and he says, they have the ball on the 1 yard line. The game's tied 6-6. There's 50 seconds to play. The ball's been handed off to Zonka and Zonka goes around the end and I believe that he's gone in. Yes, it's a touchdown. Now, can you imagine that? That's about the way some of you described it. Yes, I remember one day, brother, I got saved, and I think it would be wonderful if you got saved. And they'd say, Lord, have mercy, don't let me get in the football. I want that announcer to say, down on the 1 yard line. I want him to tell you how thick the grass is, you know. And he's got certain kind of cleats on. And I want to hear everything about it. His uniform, they've been over. He's handing off. Zonka's got the ball. Three of them, they're hanging on to him. He's going across. Is he across? Yeah, he's across. I say, amen, you know. Man, I want to go out there and play football myself. Now, the thing I'm trying to say to you, you can only get people excited by being excited yourself. And you've got to get excited about salvation. You need every day in your life to get excited about it. For if you're excited about it, other people will get excited about it. And if we can get people excited about salvation, bless God, I'll tell you, we can get folks saved. I'll tell you something else that bring reality to your own heart. I don't like to hear people talk. Don't misunderstand me. Don't think I stand around analyzing what you say. I'm not smart enough to do that. But does it bother you for somebody to start talking to you in the second person? I mean, by that they say, now, brother so-and-so said that he was praying and so-and-so happened to him and this and that and the other. I don't get too excited about when they're talking in the second person, do you? I like them to talk in the first person. First person. I like for them to say, I was praying, and this happened to me, and I did it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about using I to the extent of boring people or making it look good. But what I'm trying to say is, people wants to know what happens to you. That's what I'm trying to say. And God wants us to do that. We need to understand and talk about the little miracles. I believe that. Did you know there's nothing little with God? There's nothing big with God. Everything's important with the Lord. A lot of times we think it's little things. That's not important. And there are big things that are, but all things are important for the Lord. And I think we ought to get excited about it. Brother, let's get all excited, as the song says. I like that, brother. Get excited about Christianity and let it come a part of you. And let it be something that's just bubbling over, effervescent, just something that you can't keep inside. That seems to be what happened to the first century Christians. It just bubbled over. Everybody knew that they had been with Jesus. The Bible says, and they took notice that they had been with Jesus because they were excited. They were so thrilled beyond words, and they had great joy, the Bible says, in the book of Acts. I'll tell you, to bring encouragement to a lot of other people too, if you got excited. Brother, I'll tell you, you live around and with a lot of people all the time, and you go around with a long face all the time, it's no wonder that most people are discouraged. We need to have some encouragement. We need to encourage one another. And I'll tell you, when you see somebody, it's good to talk to them about the Lord. I'll tell you, the greatest thing in the world to talk about. Don't you like somebody to come up to you and say, "Hey, brother, I just had the opportunity of leading somebody to the Lord. Did you know that'd do something for you?" Young people, you think you've had some joys. You think you've had some excitement. But I'll tell you, you've never had the excitement in your life like you had leading somebody to Jesus Christ and then talking about it. I don't mean bragging about it. That's not what I'm talking about. But sharing it with somebody. Sharing with them the joy, the excitement of winning somebody to Jesus, telling somebody about the Lord, witnessing to them, and telling them the joys of salvation. Brother, I'll tell you, it'll do something to you. I think about people today that trying to find seeking thrills, their jaded appetites, and the world just grows thin, and they grow, when I say grows thin, I mean it just seems there's nothing there. It's just everything superficial, and they're the most miserable people in the world, looking for something, longing for something. I had a man, a professional man, just in the last few days said to me, he said, "There are many men in my profession who are looking for somebody that's excited about it." I never will forget those words. He said, "Get excited about it. Get excited about it. Get excited about it." Did you know what folk are sick of? They're sick of religion. They're sick of religious churches where religion and now, brethren, we're gathered together here today. And the great God that scooped out the valleys and humped up the mountains and put the grass on the ground and put the chlorophyll in it and filled up. That's what folk are not excited about. Folk are excited about things that are happening. They want to see something with their own eyes. And this is the thing that's going to get them excited. You know, I remember reading, and one of the great blessings last week I had a bout with arthritis. Thank God the Lord whipped it and it's over and I'm all right and good and good mean and everything else again. But I'm all right. But I read, and when I get down, I try to take advantage of reading. But I read again. I had read it before, a long time ago, but I had not read for a long time the life story of Booker T. Washington, one of the great black men. And what a blessing it was to read of him in his time of slavery. One of the most touching books I've read in a long time. He's the one that founded Tuskegee Institution down in Alabama, as you know. What God is it Alabama or Mississippi? I've forgotten. But the blessings of it. But one of the things that he said in the book, just he didn't make like a whole thing about it. He went on and explained a lot of the things. And he said that in his first school that most of his students were adults. And he said most of them were either school teachers or preachers. He said it seemed to be the only way that they knew how to get out of, break out of the slavery that's been abolished, and they had no education. So they either became teachers or preachers. And he said it seemed the longer the name for a subject and the thicker the book, that's what they seemed to choose. And he said, "I'd take preachers many times and talk to them, and here's the word Booker T. Washington used." He said, "I found that many of the so-called preachers who had never had a born-again experience with the Lord. And Booker T. Washington led many of them to Jesus Christ and to the saving grace." And then he said the thing that they'd do was to get these men, now he didn't use this word, but what it amounted to, he got them excited about the joys of salvation. And in the midst of his teaching, he'd get these men out to begin to preach. And he said what a revelation would come over these men when they came in there professing to be preachers with all these books, professing to be learned theologians, but who had never been born again. And the difference that happened when they'd go out among the uneducated people excited about salvation and how other people get excited about it. I don't care if it's the uneducated or the educated. You'll never get anybody saved until you get excited about it. Then I want you to see this. I want you to know that we ought to get excited about praying. I believe before God it'll do something for you if you'll get excited about it. I believe that you ought to think it's a thrill to pray. I think you businessmen ought to pray. I think it would be wonderful if you businessmen in your place could have a brief minute. Now, don't let anybody kill all day. I don't think that's good. I don't think that's the place for it. If something comes up, the problem is different. But I'm talking about, I think there ought to be a time of prayer. I think one of the greatest blessings, I can name you business institutions in this city today that still has time of devotions every morning of their lives. I can name you institutions that have at least once a week preachers to come in and preach to them. I can name to you some of the department stores, for I've been to many of them, and I've brought the devotions, I've brought the time. They know that their workers are better if they meet together in the morning and pray. And I'm saying to you businessmen, I challenge you to get excited about prayer, to believe that it'll stimulate, though you may lose 15 minutes in a sense of a busy day, it'll encourage you, it'll do something for you. You need to pray. You need to pray. I challenge every one of you when you go in, whoever you're with, I challenge you to bow your head over your food in a restaurant, in a public place, wherever you are, and bow your head and pray. I found out that they don't look at you, they don't laugh at you, they'll respect you for doing it. They'll respect you for doing it. They expect you to do it. They're disappointed when you don't do it. I've gone into many a place, and the people seat me, never say a word, never let on at all. They'd wait on me. After they got through waiting, when I'd let it go, they'd come up and they'd say, and call my name. You're so, yes sir, I am, or yes ma'am. I knew who you were. You know what they were doing? They were watching me. They were checking me out. Every time, wherever I am, I do it unto the Lord because I get excited about it. I bow my head and thank God for my food. I'm not saying that I'm self-righteous. Don't misunderstand me. And I don't think it ought to be one of those kind of things that a friend of mine told me one time. He was with an evangelist in a cafeteria, and he said to the evangelist, out of courtesy, he said, would you thank the Lord for prayer? Thank the Lord for our food in prayer? And he said, the evangelist looked around and saw the place. He said, with a voice as loud as I'm saying, Lord, thank you for this food. Now, of course, everybody but then heard it. Thank you tonight, Lord. I'm speaking at the so-and-so Baptist church at 7:30. And my subject tonight, Lord, is, and he gave the subject. And I said to the preacher, what did you do? He said, I slid down in my seat. I've never been so embarrassed in my life. Now, that's not being excited. That's being foolish. But I think it can be exciting. Have you ever noticed folk how they pray sometimes in a restaurant? There's the headache prayer, I call it. You ever seen the headache prayer? Now, I don't know where they're having a sudden headache or, you know, the blood vessel's about to burst in their temple. I don't know what it is. Have you ever seen the other kind, the kind that, the bright light syndrome? Now, then I've seen, and the kind that's noticed, have you ever seen the kind, I said to a man one time, I sat down at a table, I went in by myself. And they said, would you mind sitting with somebody else? I was in a hurry. The only thing I could do, I said, don't mind if I do. Went over and sat down. There was a man sitting over there, and he introduced himself. He was a doctor, a medical doctor. And he had just gotten his food, and mine wasn't quite there. And I said, sir, do you mind if I have prayer before you eat? He said, I don't mind at all. Now, I'm not making fun of the man. Please don't think that. But I bowed my head, and I always try to make it a brief prayer. And when I looked up, he had his hands folded just like this. A medical doctor in this city whose name I could tell you, and he had his hands folded. And I thought, now, he doesn't really know how to pray. He thought that was the right attitude of praying, and he held his hands together just like this. I never acknowledged it. I didn't say a word, and I just thanked him. We had fellowship, ate our meal together, and went on our separate ways. I'm simply trying to say this. You ought to get excited about prayer. And when you go into a place, I believe you ought to bow your head, thank God for it, let everybody, people may know it. I was in Jacksonville, Florida, one time revival. I was staying in a motel, and I went in to eat breakfast one morning. Obviously, I was by myself, and so I went over, sat down at the table, and I ordered my food, and I sat there drinking my coffee. In a few minutes, my food came, I ate, and naturally, I just put my head over my food and thanked the Lord for it, and went on to eating. When I got up to leave, a man and his wife were sitting over there. There were a lot of people in the restaurant, came over, and they said, is your name Hudson? I said, yes, it is. And they said, are you from Charlotte, North Carolina? I said, yes. And they said, I thought that was you. She said to her wife triumphantly, you know, again, you know, wanting to prove the female superiority. She said, I told you that was Dr. Hudson, and I knew it when I saw you bow your head and pray. She said, I knew it was you then. And that made me feel good all day. because she had recognized it. It's a testimony to other people. I believe that we ought to not only thank the Lord, but it ought to be a testimony to other people. I believe that it's good at home. I believe it's good to hear the parents pray. I believe that parents ought to pray at the table. I think it's good for children to pray. Don't misunderstand me there. I think it's good. I wouldn't be surprised. I thought so many times. I wouldn't be surprised if Samson, you remember when he was down in the mill grinding, and his head had been shaven, his eyes gouged out, all of his power gone, and as he had pushed that thing like a mule, he'd had to push it, grinding the grain, you know, and as he'd go around, I've often wondered in my mind if maybe in his mind he didn't remember maybe sitting at the table and see his gnarled hand of his dad, maybe as they clasped or they were there on the table as they prayed, thank God for his food. And I believe it somehow got to him. And he said, I had a daddy that prayed, and I had a daddy that loved me, and I had a daddy that, my God, I've broken my daddy's heart. And I believe he thought about his mother, and he saw her work-worn hands in his mind, and he remembered how many times she had prayed. And the Bible says, and oh, how that thrills my soul. It says, I believe a fly got on his head, and he reached up to rub his head. And it says, howbeit the hairs of his head began to grow again. The consecration began to come back. Brother, it wasn't long. You know the story about Samson. I thought about other great men in the Bible got away from God. And I think the old prodigal son down there, maybe he was raking off that old slop and feeding those old hogs. And maybe he looked at his hands and it reminded him of his daddy's hand. And he said, I've seen my old dad fold his hands so many times. And maybe he's put his hand, big adult hand, on my childish hand and prayed for me. Oh, he says, what a fool I am. Nevertheless, the scripture says he came to himself. I don't know what it was. But I know the dad was standing there waiting on him. His father saw him at a great distance and running and having compassion on him. I believe it does something to children to have them pray. You know, I say this with love in my heart, and I really mean it. I believe it would change boys and girls' lives if they'd see you pray. If they'd see you bow your head and pray over your food and thank God for it. Don't let it be a little old thing, you know, just a ritual, just something to get off your heart. Let it be something that you mean from your heart and mean from your soul. Get excited about it. Then I believe you ought to get excited about blessings for others. Did you know anything that blesses us will bless others? Did you know, now don't bore people. You can do that. You know the difference. But when God blesses you, I think you ought to tell something about it. If somebody would call you on the phone when you got home tonight and tell you that you'd suddenly inherited a lot of money, I guarantee you'd get on the phone and tell somebody about it. Brother, I believe when we get blessings, we ought to share them with somebody else. We ought to get excited about it. Get excited about blessings from God. I'm excited about this television program. Everywhere I go, I tell somebody about it. I don't want to say it boastingly. I want to say it in praise to the Lord. And thank God for people like you that will stand behind it. And people that will believe in us enough to put us on that many stations. And the obligation that's on us and the responsibility there that's so great. I want to tell people about it. I believe we ought to share our blessings with other people that it might encourage them. I believe that we ought to do it. I believe it's something that we can do all the time. I believe that we ought to encourage our husbands and wives. I don't think it'll earn your wife to brag on her once in a while. I don't believe it'll earn your husband if you'd brag on them. You'd be surprised at what they'd do maybe if you'd brag on them once in a while. Encourage them. Encourage them once in a while. Tell them that you believe in what they're doing. Thank God for their spiritual life. Thank God that they're reading the Bible. Thank God that they're witnessing for Jesus Christ. Encourage one another. Get excited about it. Get excited about it. I'll tell you a lot of times, well, I got to do this and that and the other. But we ought to be excited about these things. Then I'll tell you something else. I believe we ought to get excited about joining the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe it ought to be the most exciting thing in the world. I tell you, my daughter Patsy, you know, and her husband, gone to Tennessee Temple School, and forgive me for using a personal illustration, she wrote me and said, Daddy, she said, do I have to? And I said, yes, you do. She didn't ask me. She was talking to me on the phone. I'm sorry at this time. She said, Daddy, do I have to? And I knew what she was going to say, and I said, yes, you do. You join that church. The first service you're there, you join that church. You join it. That's where you are. You join that church. The Lord leads you back here, you can join this church. Wherever God leads you, you join that church. But you join that church. We got a letter, and she said the first service, they join that church. I believe you ought to be excited about it. I believe one of the greatest blessings in the world. Did you know I've heard people coming around, I've had people say to me, Brother Hudson, thought I'd let you know I've been accepted. I'm a member of the Masonic Lodge now. They're so thrilled over it. I've had others say, Brother Hudson, did you know I'm a moose? And I never have known why they got excited about that. And another one say, Brother Hudson, I'm in this and I've been accepted by this and that and the other country club. They're excited about it. Brother, I tell you, the most exciting thing that you'll ever do as a Christian is to walk the aisles and join a fundamental Baptist, a fundamental Bible-believing, soul-winning church. It's the most exciting thing you ought to do. You ought to get on the phone the next day and say, thank God I've joined the church. Thank God I've joined it. I'm glad I'm a part of it. I'm proud of it. You ought to get excited about the church. You ought to go out and talk about it in glowing terms. And you ought to say, sure, we've got imperfections, but thank God, if it was a perfect church, I couldn't be a member of it. Praise God for it. Praise it. Get excited about it. That's what we ought to do. Get excited about it, brother. Not be ashamed of his church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I want to be a part of it. Did you know, I'm trying to think and be honest in my mind, and I'm certainly not being critical of anybody else, but about all I belong to is my wife and this church. That's about all I belong to. I'm trying to think if I belong to anything else. I don't know of it. That's about all I need to be a member of. I mean, brother, when I do what I... this is so exciting around here. Do you get excited of all the things that happen here? There's exciting things happen here. Some of you folks ought to get involved in some of it. You'd be surprised at how exciting it is. Some people call it work, but we call it exciting, you know. You get to work and you have that exciting stuff that drops off your head and you have to mop it this way and that, and that exciting stuff that makes your lady's hair hang down like this during hot weather, and that exciting stuff that gets your shirt soaking wet. I mean, there's exciting things that happen here, brother. And all the time seeing people come in and people getting saved and getting people blessed and so on like that. Now, you get a negative reaction in that church we were in today. Beautiful stained glass windows. I've never seen anything like them. They were solid. I'm trying to say the exact color and can. They were not pink, really. They're not purple. They were between pink and purple, whatever color that is. Beautiful, beautiful glass. And as it came in, rose is what I'm trying to say. They were rose color. Beautiful windows. And I stood there preaching, of course, in the afternoon. I could see the sun coming in both sides, the light, rather, and it made such a beautiful color on the inside of it. And I thought about that, how exciting it was to be in that church and seeing that new church go up and seeing the people come into it and taking their positions in that new church. I thought to myself, everybody there ought to go home and get on the phone and tell everybody how exciting it was about that. And brother, I'll tell you, it ought to be something that we excite about, ought not to be ashamed of it. You ought to get on the phone and tell people about it. Get excited about it. Then I believe you ought to get excited about your need of salvation. The Bible says, "Then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Beloved, I believe the night that you ought to get excited, I'll tell you the truth, I've had some exciting things that happened to me, but I've never had anything as exciting as getting saved. Never have. And I'll tell you, God's willing to save anybody and everybody that'll come to him by faith. It'll give you some excitement in your life. We need to be excited about our fellowship. I'll be honest before God being my witness. It excites me to come and see you folk here. It excites me to see this good crowd here tonight. It excites me when you stand and people come forward and we walk by and shake hands with them. It excited me today to see that multitude of people who came and stood at the front of that church. And it excites me to see people go into the baptismal waters. It ought to be something that never ought to excite you about the work of the Lord. You tonight ever been saved, you ought to come and get saved. It's the most exciting thing that'll ever happen to you in your life. If you are saved and not a member of this church and your membership is somewhere, maybe out of the city or somewhere, you ought to come and join the church and get excited about it. I'm saved, you ought to say, Lord, give me the joy of my salvation. I can remember a time when I was excited about the Bible, when I was excited about witnessing, when I was excited about talking about the things of God. And I'm not as excited as I used to be. Brother, now is the time that you ought to come before it's ever last too late and say, oh God, as David said, return unto me the joy. You know what he was saying? Give me the excitement back, Lord. Brother, I'll tell you, you get with a losing team. It's hard to have a lot of excitement. You get with a winning team. You get with a team that... I remember years ago, and I'm going to close, and I didn't mean to bring this illustration. I was in Chapel Hill in a revival meeting. I was there through Saturday night. In fact, I was there through Sunday, if I remember correctly. I was there. I know I was going to be there Saturday night. Saturday afternoon, some of our teams are playing. I won't say the name. I might have gotten it wrong. I know North Carolina State was one of them. Who they were playing, I don't know, and I don't remember. And he said, now, one of the guards is in our church. He'll let us in after about the first quarter. We'll miss it. But he said he'll let us in and we can stand right, we can see. He said, we can, and the word he used, we can smell the sweat on the players. He said, we'll be that close. I said, man, I've never smelled sweat on those players. Let's go. And so he said, okay. Hans had to meet that meeting that night, but it was in the afternoon. We went down. Brother Gene Payne was the man. We went down. And sure enough, about the quick we got in there, North Carolina State was behind. They had a quarterback. I don't know his name. Didn't know it then. Don't know it now. Can't even remember. But and I thought, looks to me like he'd give up. Brother, he'd fade back to pass, and those great big tackles, one had hit him high and one had hit him low, and one had looked like it'd ram his helmet in his back just for the fun of it. How he ever got up, he'd get up, look to me like in three or four pieces and kind of get himself back together, but there was something inside of him. I don't know what it was. And I watched him. He stood there. Brother, if you'd asked him what the score was, he said, we're ahead 49 to nothing. And it was the other way. He never knew. He never knew. He never one time knew that they were losing. He never knew it. The guards got laggy. The tackles were laggy. The backs were coming off. They looked like they were walking instead of running. But there was something about that quarterback. I think in a little bit the feeling. I think just that quarterback permeated the rest. And about that time, North Carolina seemed to get up. And brother, that quarterback got out there. He never gave up. He did not give up. He was sighted the whole time. And he stood there in about the fourth quarter, long about the middle of it. They had tied the game up. And that quarterback stood back there, and it was something about they were letting the men get back to him, and Smearing couldn't get past. And I think finally it caught him. I saw him then, brother, those great big old guards looked to me like they got up and they got some reserve strength from somewhere. I believe they got that strength from that excitement of that quarterback. I don't know if he said to them in the huddle or if he said anything. I'm excited. And brother, they got up there, and when that great big defensive line came for him, brother, they stopped him. He had time, and he looked back there, and he waited and looked like the fellow was running as fast as I thought he ought to run. Finally, he made it in the end zone, and that old boy lofted that ass, and I stood there, and before God, tears came in my eye, and I watched that ball sail. The guard was all over the top of him, and that end went way up in there, and he grabbed that ball and hauled it in. Oh, thank God, Lord, whatever that quarter, give me some of it. You know what he had? He didn't give up when the gang was going, and he was all the place. He was the one that kept it going. Deliver us from discouraged Sunday school teachers. Deliver us from discouraged people. Give excited people. And I'll guarantee you, the guards will get on, and the tackle will make up, and the backs will get to running, and get to running. Give us some quarterbacks who are excited. That's what we need today. Excited friends. And bless God, we can win the battle. We'll battle won if we'll just keep going. Get excited. Get excited. Get excited. The Bible says, they that believe on him shall not be ashamed, but get it. Let's stand again together with our heads bowed. I want to ask you a question. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, and ask you a question before God. How many of you say, Brother Hudson, I'm not as excited as I once was? Now, that's a long time. But I once was about the things of the Lord. I'm just not as excited. Will you slip up your hand and ask God to help you to get excited? Slip it up. Be honest before God. That's it. That's it. That's it. It ought to be our bread and meat. There oughtn't to be anything on television. There oughtn't to be anything that'll take the place of it. There oughtn't to be anything more exciting than serving Jesus Christ in our lives. We ought to be excited. They that believe on him shall not be ashamed. The very opposite of that is they'll be excited. They'll be excited. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hudson, I'm not a Christian. You've spoken primarily to Christians to encourage them tonight, but I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. But I'm concerned about my soul, and I want you to pray for me. Will you slip up your hand tonight? I'm not a Christian. Pray for me. Slip up your hand right quick. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Others, thank you. Yes. Yes. All right. Now, how many would say, Brother Hudson, I'm not a member of Northside Baptist Church? Now, you may be a visitor, maybe a pastor, Sunday school teacher, just visiting with us tonight. It's all right. But I'm not a member of Northside. Hold your hand up high for just a minute. Thank you. Now, pull them back down. Thank you. Now, if you live in this area and God has moved you here and your membership is out of the city or maybe is somewhere, I'm not trying to proselyte. We're not trying to get you from other churches. That's where you're happy. But if God's leading you tonight, will you consider, will you really ask God, will you just ask God if he wants you to join Northside? You ought to get excited about it. You ought to be excited about your church. You ought to be so excited that it's just it's the most important thing in all your life. You ought to get excited about it. Oh, let God do something for you tonight. Let's bow our heads and while our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask the choir to sing, ask the men to take their places. I'm going to ask those of you that lifted your hand and said, Brother Hudson, I'm not saved. I'm going to ask you tonight. I'm going to challenge you to come and let God save you. Let God show you what it means to get excited. I'm going to ask those of you who said, Brother Hudson, I'm not as excited as I used to. Would you come and say, Oh, God, make me excited. Oh, God, get me excited about it. Lord, that I can have the joy, that deep-seated joy that keeps me going and motivates me. I want that joy, that excitement like the disciples had and like the men have had down through the years and the women have had down even today, that people have that excitement that just supersedes anything that this world knows anything about. I want you to come out and come on down. Will you do it? And then I'm going to ask those of you who say, Brother Hudson, I believe God wants me to be a member of this church. I want to be excited about it. Come on out of your place. Will you do it? There's a threefold invitation. Come on now. Will you do it? Be the first one. Be the first one while the choir sings. Come on. Let's get all excited. Come on. Come on right now. Come on. Just slip out of your place. That's it. Come on. Just while the instruments are playing a moment, listen to me. Those of you who lifted your hand and said, Preacher, I'm not saved. Come on right now. Will you do it? Just slip out of your place. We'll take the Word of God and show you how you can know you can be a Christian. You may join this church. You may not. That's optional. It's entirely up to you. But we want you to be saved tonight. We want you to have something to be excited about. You'll get excited when your sins are forgiven and you know that you're on the way to heaven. Come on to Jesus tonight. Don't put it off. Please don't put it off. But come on tonight to be saved. Some of you need to come and join this church. You need to come on and do that tonight. But let me speak to those of you who say, Brother Hudson, I'm not as excited about this as I once was. There's only one remedy for it. Come to the Lord and say, Oh, dear God, I don't have that excitement that I once had. Oh, God, make it exciting. If nothing else, just one more time. Don't let me die on the vine, Lord. Don't let me be a hindrance and discouragement to other people. Dear God, help me. Give me that excitement back. God will do it. That's what David said. Return unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then will I speak to sinners. And then, when? After I get my joy back. After I get excited. Come on, will you do it? Come on, God help you to do it. As we sing now again, come on.